what is the Canadian insurance system like for those who don't know?
Yes, in brief, it is centrally financed while privately delivered. So it's not a socialist system, but rather it's a system in which the government pays for the health care all through the provincial governments, which is the parallel to states in the United States. All physicians essentially contract directly with the government in order for payment. That's where, rather than sending to one of 5 or 10 different insurers, I send to one insurer, and that's the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care in Ontario. And I'll speak to Ontario, the Ontario experience, because that's what I'm most familiar with. All residents of Ontario have a health card, and that allows them access for free, with, in other words, paid for by their taxes. I don't like to say nothing is for free, obviously. The money has to come from somewhere. But through our taxes, we fund a provincially funded healthcare system. And so for all necessary medical care, and that includes hospitalizations and physician offices and some physician visits, and then some other care, including physiotherapy or physical therapy in some situations. It does not include medications for the time being, but that is a high priority, and a number of groups and people are working on that to introduce a universal pharmacare system, because that's a significant a barrier potentially. And in that way, we do also have a supplementary insurance system that many people might have through their employer or buy separately through, say, a trade organization.
Are doulas included in that at all? Because you are also a doula, correct?
I was trained as a doula. I haven't been able to practice because I was trained. I went through the training in medical school when I sought out a different way of looking at and understanding birth after my obstetric rotation as a third-year medical student. But I've never been able to practice because I've always been too busy being a physician. Doulas are for now not covered, but they are covered by the provincial insurance, but they are covered by an increasing number of private health insurances.
That's interesting, because a lot of people in the United States shy away from getting a doula because they can't afford it.
And I think we struggle also in Canada. We struggle with that same concern to be able to to be able to communicate the value of professional continuous labor support. Our professional organization, Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada, is I have found it. I don't want to draw too direct a comparison to ACOG, the parallel in the United States, but my impression is that they are more explicitly supportive of measures, including, say, continuous labor support. But it's just still time in coming. There's a huge tension between determining and potentially expanding what is required, what is medically necessary, what is required medical services, and while at the same time appropriately constraining costs. And so there's certainly real movements, efforts in place through both the professional education and then also through the system of remuneration, of payment, to limit those non-medically necessary interventions.
What are your patients' perspective on out-of-hospital care for birth or, receiving doula care during their pregnancy?
Well, I think I can't really speak to them in the same voice. I mean, sorry, in the same breath. Like, they're very, very different, at least in our community.
Right.
So out-of-hospital birth is really just a matter of personal preference for a low-risk, a woman with a low-risk pregnancy, and that's, I certainly know that Our midwives, we have a really wonderful growing midwifery group in our town, and they are taking care of more and more patients. And, you know, as a proportion of overall number of women who are pregnant, and certainly fundamental to their counseling, to their delivery provision of care, is that decision of place of birth. And so I think that it's really personally decided. I would say that home birth is not quite as countercultural here as it, definitely, actually, I should say, it does not feel to me as a birth provider as countercultural as it is, it was at least in where I practiced in Rochester, New York, because it is fully integrated into the system. Like it just is, there's not a second thought. Like, and if you run into a problem like dystocia or problem, sorry, so the halting of the labor progress, or even I've decided this is no longer the right decision for me because I really feel that an epidural is the right decision for me now and I can't have that at home. Okay, great. And they transfer into the hospital and it's a seamless process, truly seamless. So I would say that home birth is quite popular, but not the default. It's just another good option. And then doulas in my particular small town, I certainly can't speak to all of Canada at all, but my town 2 hours north of Toronto, we do have a growing provision of doula services. And in fact, we have a really wonderful Indigenous doula program for women, families of First Nations, or which is what we call Native American descent. And so there's certainly a growing movement, but there's still, it's an effort of kind of community education, figuring out payment. The Indigenous doula program is covered through a grant, which is wonderful. But yeah, figuring out coverage and the like.
Yeah, providing that culturally competent care is also really important. Yeah.
It's hugely important. Yeah.
I'm just curious if there's anything that you feel like is missing from the Canadian system that you got with the US insurance system. Like, if there's anything that you miss about the other one, or is there pros and cons to either?
You know, I do find, and I don't know that this is necessarily good or bad, but one difference I find is that the American system does seem to treat the patient as the customer more. So like, and especially maternity units, obstetric units, are really, can be quite drivers of contributing to a hospital's financial well-being. And so I certainly noticed in Rochester, there's a really very explicit courting of pregnant women and moms, and really crafting that overall like customer, AKA patient experience. And perhaps this is just a function of rural versus urban, but I do get a sense from talking with my Canadian counterparts that it is something that they see in the United States that like, it's just not a major factor here. Like we don't, it's not to say that we do certainly in Canada, there's much talk of and much effort in patient-centered care and high quality care, but less about how wonderful the brunch is, you know, are these
right.
Kind of the all kind of the extras. And I don't know how I feel about it, because as a patient in the American system, I kind of liked how lovely the brunch was, you know, after I came first. But I don't know that that's really the best way of spending hospital resources, or at least it's spending that, you know, medical resources. So as a physician, there was definitely something uncomfortable about the what felt like a kind of dramatic courting of patients, like a really parceling out, reaching out for market share in order to improve our bottom line. So actually, I took a positive of like a, you know, customer centered experience, you know, the purchasing customer. But I do think that in the end, it kind of has a very negative feel to me.
Right.
An uncomfortable and an unsettling feel.
What are kind of your reflections after, you know, working in both the American and Canadian systems? And is there a way that we could learn from the Canadian system? Is there anything that you think could realistically be adapted to the United States or vice versa?
I would never go back to the United States. I'll only go back if there was some sort of incredibly compelling personal reasons and it did not involve a professional life, I wouldn't go back to practice in the United States system. I think that, you know, perhaps the only thing I can think of that the Canadians could learn from Americans is reframing the patient as the customer and trying to, you know, really figure out best ways to do things from a patient perspective. And I think it's something that they often do, but I think that that it's more built into perhaps our American system. From the United States, I think we could learn a plethora, even just from a value perspective, that healthcare is absolutely fundamentally a human right here in Canada. And that is not argued even by those who argue for a provision of privately financed healthcare, which has just been struck down in a major landmark case out in BC. But certainly there are still conversations about whether there is any role for private delivery of healthcare. So that healthcare is a fundamental human right that we all benefit from, us all receiving. And so that equality, I think, is also something that the United States could learn from. That I see no, it is fundamentally against my essence of my values to believe that someone with a higher paying job should be able to access better, higher quality healthcare. It is just anathema to how I approach life. I get much more support to do that in Canada than I did the United States, because the provincial health insurance, OHIP, Ontario Health Insurance Program, insures all of my patients. So when they give me numbers, it applies to all of my patients. So once a quarter, I get my quality data, and it's incredible. You know, that's something that the United States could learn, is to give physicians meaningful quality data and then the support to act on it, rather than individual little piecemeal programs that are sometimes rolled out in the American private insurance system. So, you know, I'm a fervent believer that the piecemeal system of private health insurance, unless it was, you know, without much stricter regulation, is just never going to serve the United States well. And until that goes away, the United States will struggle to deliver high quality care for all.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. I learned a lot.
Great. Excellent. It's my pleasure.